Good evening, and welcome to another trip on the airship. So step aboard. Love to have you on board with us and be one of our passengers. I'm Rob, your pilot tonight. We've got the wonderful Tammy here. She's going to be the co-pilot and co-host for this show. We have Mr. Sean Ashley Wilson at the controls, engineering this trip.
Howdy.
And join us up. Be some passengers for your entertainment tonight. We have the wonderful and talented Miss Rachel S. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good. Just enjoying the pre-show chat. Now we got to get serious.
I know. All of a sudden, she's just like, okay, I'm on.
Yep. I'm like, what are we doing now? Yeah. Steer this ship. Yeah. I'll follow.
Oh, it's totally out of control.
Yeah. If you put me in the co-pilot seat, anything can happen.
Yep, anything can happen.
I just need a life vest.
So tell us about yourself. You have a wonderful biography that I read. Trained here and out in New York. Tell us about that.
Well, I moved out to New York when I was 18 because I knew I wanted to act, sing, and dance. Went to school there, did exactly that, and just kept pursuing it. Became a backup dancer for a gal out there and was dancing one night in Harlem. And a guy came out and he said, "You can dance your butt off. Can you sing?"
You're a little white for Harlem.
Yeah.
I am a little white for Harlem. You know what? Throw me in there. You'd be surprised. I learned very quickly. So he took me out on the corner and I sang for him right out on the street.
Oh, wow.
And he gave me his business card and he said, "Meet me here at this place tomorrow."
Let's hear it. What'd you sing?
Yeah. Come on. What'd you sing? Come on.
Oh, goodness.
Let's hear it.
Oh, wow. You're throwing me under the bus here. I don't remember what I sang.
Just don't grab me by the ankles and drag me down with you.
It was something amazing. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, so then I met him the next day and I went down there thinking, is this legit? Am I being stupid?
That would have been my first thought too.
My parents are going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I sang for them, a room full of guys, and they said, "Okay, would you like to work with us going forward?" And I'm just like wide-eyed, like, really? This is how this happens? And so this is what I've been doing. That's how
I'm having a flash of Morris Day from the movie Purple Rain.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's the visual image I'm getting out of this.
Yeah, but can't you sing and dance? So tell me, aside from the idea that you might get murdered.
Which is really exciting,
yeah,
actually.
What got you set on this path? When did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
I knew when I was little.
Really?
My parents used to do commercials locally here in town. And so they would throw me into commercials as a kid. So that's kind of how I started. So I started acting. And then when I was 14, I decided to go out for the school play. And blonde hair, blue eye, you would think I would have like the main role, right? No. Mm-hmm. No, I got the role of Yenta. Because I had a humorous side and it was so much fun and there was so much energy on stage that that's what set me up to just keep going forward. So then I just did show after show after show, joined dance, vocal lessons, everything. And then from there I was like, this is what I'm doing. Mm. My parents were always like, you should find, you know, maybe a second avenue. And I was like, nope, yeah. This is what I'm doing.
I got that too. Have a backup plan. That I get that.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't need one.
You can do whatever you want, but just make sure you take welding to make sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That's what you just described there. That's what true love is. That's the passion for life.
Yeah.
And what you're doing in it. You know, and that's awesome. And having the desire and the motivation and the family to support you going through that all the way through it.
Oh, absolutely.
So what'd they say when you took off to New York? I'm glad you didn't go to Hollywood and get chewed up through the meat grinder out there. I know a lot of people in Hollywood.
Well, then I'm glad too.
Yeah.
No, my parents were so supportive. My dad flew me out there, got me all set up, and it was tough for them to leave me in a huge city coming from here.
How old were you? You were 18?
18. Okay. Yep. And I left about 6 months after I graduated high school, and they just dropped me off and left me.
Can you say culture shock?
A total culture shock, but I'm so outgoing that I was like, oh my God, look at that bum. Oh my God, those people are dancing on the street. Ah, like it was just overwhelming and fun. So,
All right.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Tony, your manager, on the phone a few times, and it was so great hearing his New York accent.
Yeah.
I love New York accents.
I do, too. I try to do them once in a while because I really want to be from there, but then they look at me funny like...
I, my father and mother-in-law are from New York City.
Exactly.
To this day, I've been married 15 years. To this day, I cannot go over to their house and not talk like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I get that.
After that many years, don't you get that privilege?
We just flew into the Bermuda Triangle.
Sure, why not? After 15 years, my mother-in-law still calls me, and she'll say, "Hi, Tammy, this is Jean, your mother-in-law." After 15 years, I think I know who you are.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
Oh, that's hilarious. So tell me about your music. Do you write your music? Do you have someone that writes for you?
Typically, it's kind of balanced. I've written a lot of music over the years, but other people do write the music. Mm-hmm. So it's shared. And a lot of times you get a lot of great ideas and whatnot from other people. And I just love that, you know, taking that, what they see, and then taking their vision and putting it into
play. Yeah, and I think people don't realize that out there, that not all artists write their own music. In fact, quite a few don't.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I'm like Bob Dylan. He wrote a lot of music. J.J. Cale wrote music for Bob Dylan, as well as Eric Clapton and a lot of other people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it gets passed around. I actually know Merle Haggard's writers, and my partner Danielle in the record label co-wrote a song with them, and we passed it on to one of the bands that was on our label, and you know, they took it to the next level of where it needed to go, and that happens quite a bit. And then there's people that write their own songs,
right,
and just go with that. Juanette, over you. That actually sounds like kind of a personal song. Is that one that you wrote, or did you take that from somebody else's idea?
That was written for me, but that song hits home. I think we've all had somebody that you finally hit that point and you think that you're over them. But it kind of becomes this empowering thing where it's like, in your face, I don't need you anymore. And it's confidence and moving on. So yeah, that one definitely hit home. I feel that one for sure.
It definitely hit home. So yeah, you could take that one and own it.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally own it.
Anytime too. I mean, that comes back. That song you can replay, you know, through life events.
Exactly.
Yeah, we replayed it a couple of times when we were listening.
Did you?
The list for tonight. So, but definitely. Who do you think that song speaks to? What demographic? What does it cross all?
I think it can cross all. I think definitely teens, mid-20s, I think it can actually hit home with anybody. We've all had that person that kind of sticks with you. You believe everything that they say, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like, what am I doing? This person isn't for me. And so I kind of think it hits home for everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
You just had to go there.
Yeah.
Did I? Where did I go?
I think we've all gotten to that point where we just kind of wake up and say, I am so over this.
It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like an epiphany, though.
Yeah.
It's liberating.
It is.
It is.
Absolutely
is. It's completely liberating.
It really is.
I mean, you get at a point there where you really don't know where you're going or anything around you that's happening, but you know what you're doing.
Yep.
And that's pretty free. That's a pretty free place.
And it's exciting because then all of a sudden it's like all these new things start opening up and you're excited to just go out there and live. And sometimes you slow yourself down when you're with somebody and compromise things that aren't you.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden never again.
And then you get in the cave and then.
Yeah.
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 I'll stay single the rest of my life before I compromise any of that stuff.
That's smart, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I definitely will. I've got a beautiful 7-year-old daughter. She gets all my love, and we do everything together, and we love the same things. And yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
That's good, though. Being happy where you're at, you may accidentally find somebody.
They'd have to be pretty fucking crazy.
Now I know we can say fuck.
Yeah, we could say fuck. Yep,
just go for it. It's internet radio, folks. We can do whatever we want.
Fuck.
Is this where I put my personal hat out or not?
Yeah, exactly. He likes long walks on the beach.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, occasionally.
He likes surfing and girls who aren't afraid to cry.
Surfing only if it's in a kayak.
And short skirts never
I'm
hurt either.
I'm probably going to be the one that cries. Short skirts are great. They go with my kilt. It's kind of short, too.
And heels while cleaning.
I've never worn those. Not once.
Yeah, right. You wanted to try mine on.
God damn it. Play some music over there, will you? This is going downhill fast.
I showed up late.
The worst part's wearing that skirt and riding a Harley.
I've done that.
You've done that?
I've done that.
Oh, boy.
It's a free show for everybody.
Hey, let's do it. I'll wear my kilt. You wear your skirt. We'll go for a ride.
Deal. Done deal.
The chafing's horrible, though, when you're
Isn't
on the front.
Isn't it awful? Yeah.
Well.
Yep. Go for it over there. The engineer's going, when? Now? Huh? What? Okay. You going to shut up? Play some music for us.
Soundbite. It's just me. Listen. I couldn't breathe. Sometimes I couldn't sleep. You left me on this crash course to clean
debris. Oh, how it burned when everywhere I turned. Something reminded me of you. I guess I should have learned that.
And I mean that. I won't come back this time.
What about men?
I would rather a man. Where are they?
Oh, God. Give me a break. Whoa!
This has turned into a completely different show.
This is now the relationship talk show with Rachel.
Yes.
Okay.
Rachel. No.
Inquiring minds want to know, since there's a couple of us in the room, what is a man?
Ooh.
Ooh.
You gotta do this in your sultry voice, too. Just get down there, kind of sexy and low.
A man.
Tell all the men out there.
Someone who can support you. And what I mean by that is your feelings and who you are, encourage you, be your partner, your best friend, but also have that intense attraction with them at all times. There's gonna be bad times, you should still have that attraction. There's going to be good times. It makes that attraction even stronger. That's what I think it is. I think it's having a best friend.
Wow. That's, yeah, I agree with that. I can't.
I got
anything.
It too. I got
she,
it too.
She I left think me speechless. That's
you hit on something,
hard
though.
Work.
You hit on something.
Wow.
I've had quite a few people ask this lately, and it's even been asked on Facebook a few times. And it's funny, the comments I see most people making, and I jump in and I just tear it all down. Is it okay to date someone you've been friends with for years? Jesus Christ, I hope the hell you date someone you've been friends with for years. Maybe you'll continue being friends for many years.
Exactly.
More.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, people get out there and they have the physical attraction, then they fall in love uncontrollably, then they try to make friends with this person they're not compatible with, and
it
it's a
work.
Disaster.
It is.
Yeah.
Train wreck.
You know?
Been there,
I mean, if you're
that.
Best friends, you already love each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know all the good and the bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you accept it. And you actually love that about that person.
So love your friends, people.
Yeah. Love, your friends.
Love them hard.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle that, but get over it.
So I'm listening to this track, and I will admit that I didn't listen to anything before I came. I read a little bit about you, but I didn't listen to anything. And I did that deliberately because I wanted to hear it for the first time so I could hear it fresh.
Yes.
Ask things. What is your favorite part of the entire process? What do you like the most about getting into a studio and creating? What's your favorite part about that?
Honestly, I think it's the personality part of it. You're taking these lyrics and they mean something. And so it's putting yourself and the feelings behind it and creating it into a story. And I love acting and I love singing. So if you can put them both together, it makes for an incredible song.
That's an interesting approach to think of a song as sort of a mini play that you get to perform for
Absolutely.
3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking somebody else's words and interpreting them and putting your own personal spin on them.
Right. And feeling it in here and expressing it. Uh-huh. It takes a lot of energy though, too. Like you're exhausted at the end of the process because you're putting everything of yourself into it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think taking the actions of other people and putting that into words.
Right.
And then bringing it all into this, I hate to say it, but there's a mechanical device mm-hmm. you're bringing it into. I mean, there's a length for the song that it needs to be. Mm-hmm. There's a certain number of beats, things like that, so that you can get airplay, so that it go out in the industry, so that people actually listen to it.
Yeah.
Short attention span theater here. you know, that's really what it is, what you're creating. It's short attention span theater. Mm-hmm. And so you got 3.5 to 4 minutes maximum.
Yeah, to catch their attention.
To take the actions and reality of people's everyday lives and put that into something that they can relate to and hear and experience and feel physically and emotionally.
Absolutely.
And in your case, get up and dance and shake their ass to it.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. Who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, alone or with people.
if you're not having fun, people, you're not doing it right.
Exactly.
If you're not having fun, take a pulse, for God's sake.
Yeah, really.
So, okay, I'm going to flip that question and ask you now, what is your least favorite part of the creative process?
It's okay if you say the producer, because we all know that they're
funny. Nazis. You are funny. I love everyone I work with. I really do. In fact, I would like to just say, because I know they're listening, thank you to them, to Dave and John and to Tony and Bobby and Big Will. I mean, I am surrounded by a wonderful team.
Big Will.
Big Will.
Big Will.
He's man.
I am not even going to touch that. Not with a 10-foot pole.
He's no. Big Will.
He's Big Will.
Bill Big Will Izzy. That's what we call him.
Oh, cool.
Okay. No, they all take very good care of me and they're very supportive. So I would say my least favorite part is probably you get to that point that you're really hungry and your energy drops and you really wish you could keep going. And so you keep recording thinking you can make something better. But you keep doing it over and over and over, and it gets worse, but you continue to do it anyway, and it's like torture. So I would say the hunger and
that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Einstein. Yeah, he gave us that one.
Yes, he did, amongst other things, too.
Yeah.
The difference between something about stupidity having a limit.
Stupidity and genius is stupidity.
That he has its
genius
limits.
Genius has limitations. Yeah. Stupidity doesn't.
And let's not forget E equals MC squared. I mean, of all the things that Einstein gave us, that one was probably the most important.
I always wanted to work that formula backwards.
You know what would happen?
I'd see God.
There would be a rip in the time-space continuum and all the Roys from all the universes, from all the different versions of Earth would come together.
What a ride that would be.
Yeah, that would be, actually. Hey, work that fear. I want to see what happens.
Just think of
I want to see the chaos theory in action.
I'm actually seeing the definition of insanity as you guys are talking about this.
You are?
Yeah.
You haven't done enough drugs.
Clearly.
Reality is just a crutch for those who can't handle. Yeah.
Those were interesting days back at EMC, weren't they?
Oh, man. Yeah. Nah. I don't want to go back to my childhood.
Let's not say we did.
No, let's not. Although there was this deal, if you listen to Black Sabbath, Master Reality at speed 98 backwards while doing Purple Microdite, you'd see God.
Wow.
We tried once, it didn't work.
I love how fast you said that.
I wanted him to say five times in a row.
I know.
I'm just staring at him in awe.
I've never heard anyone say any of those phrases, first of all, in that order, and second of all, that fast.
I thought I was missing something, so I'm glad
too.
You said that.
I was like, I need to write this down.
You got every bit of it. You got every bit of it.
Oh, damn. Woo.
So where's... I'm going to change gears here. Get back on track. Adjust the controls.
We were going straight. You took a left.
Took a left?
This is, we need
the
you to
Bermuda
make a
Triangle
U-turn
again.
This is WADD Radio.
Yes. Shiny thing, squirrel, squirrel.
Ooh, squirrel.
Cockroach on the ceiling. No. We got rid of them.
Thank God.
When you do your own music, when you write your own music, how does that process, does it just, do you wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my God, I got to write this down? I know people that do that. I do that.
You know, a lot of times...
driving down the road, what?
It's both. A lot of times I'll get the music beforehand, and the music is what drives my vibe for the type of song. And then after I feel that, then I start to link my own personal experiences to it. And then, yes, those moments happen after I'm already like, oh, just obsessed with where I'm going with it. Other times... just writing thoughts out and poetry and things like that, and then trying to fit it into one of the songs, you know, from the music that we have. So really, both.
It's interesting because we did a show, Tammy was on it here, two shows ago, and we listened to a track by a local group called Enrapture. Mm-hmm. And there's no words to their music. It's all just instrumental, but the feeling that it created for everybody and the story that we all came up was pretty much the same of what we came up with just from listening to the music on it.
Mm-hmm. And it's incredible.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
It was a trip.
Mm-hmm. Her husband does similar music. He does a lot of electronica and
ambient music. My husband performs under the name of Cloudwalk. And he does electronica and ambient. I think he would really prefer me to say ambient. And that music.
I'm going to call it trippy hippie.
Trippy hippie. I like that. Paul, if you're listening, that's your new genre.
Yeah.
Trippy hippie.
Trippy hippie.
But when you listen to that music, it's...
It's
kind of a release.
Yeah.
It just kind of lets you flow and lets your mind kind of drift and wander into different spots and places. So do you get tracks before you write? Do you get music before you get lyrics? Or sometimes do you?
Yes.
How does that work?
I get music before lyrics. A lot of times lately, I've been getting the lyrics and the songs together. Mm-hmm. But yes, I would get the music beforehand and then write to it.
So explain to people out there, being in industry, I know how this works, but explain to the fans and everything out there exactly what it means and how it works to be part of an organization that supports you in that way. You know, what the process is for that, where the tracks for the music come from, where the lyrics come from, the players involved in that. How those roles play out for you?
Well, getting the music, there's so many talented people out there. Mm-hmm. And so the team that I work with, Two Love Group, they are listening to people's music all the time, constantly. And there's a lot of people in the running that we are constantly trying to figure out what we like. And they want us to buy their music or take it and use what they're giving us. And a lot of it is very, very, very good. And then we have to narrow it down to what we feel is my style and me and what I can perform and take to another level. So that's how that works. But we're all a team, so we all listen to it. We all give our opinions and then go from there to see if it's a song that'll take us above and beyond.
Do you ever have those ones that are just, that sucked?
Of course. Are you kidding me? But I try to be polite, though. I'm like, I like it, but maybe for someone else.
You're too nice. I would be sitting there going, if I have to listen to this one more time, I'm going to take a pencil and sharpen it and gouge my eardrum out.
That happens, too. I'm like, I've heard it 80 times. I don't think I like it anymore, you know?
Oh, I bet.
Oh, man. Yeah, that... And I don't think people understand that that's part of the industry. And that's another side from what they're used to seeing with a lot of local bands that sit down, they create their own music, they write their own music, you know, especially people here locally. But when you get connected nationally or internationally with a group like that, it's a whole different system.
It's a different
especially
level.
When you're a solo artist like yourself. And especially in your genre, I mean, this is the norm for your genre.
Right.
This is how it works. Mm-hmm. And each genre of music does it differently, mm-hmm. You know, and how it goes down. Country and Western, very few of the country and Western artists actually write their own music,
right,
or write their own lyrics. They may get the rights, some of the music, but they get the lyrics handed to them.
Exactly.
You know, here's the song, you write the music to go with it. Along with that will come, you know, a basic chorus line and the beat structure.
Yep.
And that's what they get from there. They have to go with it and create something. Mm-hmm. But even at that, they're still getting that fed into them. And it's interesting because I've seen a lot of people get offended when somebody says, hey, here, I've got this. Will you put lyrics to it? Or here, I've got these lyrics. Will you put music to it? And they're like, why would I sing somebody else's stuff?
Right.
Well, because you want to get famous. You want to get rich. You want to be noticed. And you want to work with other people. And if you work with other people and they like what you do, they're going to help you on the way.
If you, exactly. You know, if you are good at something, no matter, look at the president. You can be a good president if you're surrounded by good people. Yeah. If you're an artist, you can be a great artist if you're surrounded by great people. So you just have to take everybody's talents, put them together to make something amazing. You're just, yeah. That's what you're doing.
And there's room for everybody.
Absolutely.
And there's infinite amount of space at the top.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love performing. Mm-hmm. And so to take somebody's stuff and then perform it and see that they're just ecstatic about the way it comes out, mm-hmm. that means something to me too.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, to look at them and that they're pleased with it. I love that.
So who are some of the artists you've performed with, open for and things like that?
You know, I've done solo shows in New York. Mm-hmm. We do have a show coming up here in Billings, a fundraiser actually, and I'll be opening for A Million Pieces. But other than that, just a lot of solo shows in New York City. Worked with another artist named Shaw Bailey. He's out of New York City and he's with mm-hmm. Two Love Group as well. Mm-hmm. But pretty much I've been on my own mm-hmm. doing things.
Nice. Most artists I see out there, they get into the mode of opening for other groups and mm-hmm. stuff. And that's one way to get out there and do things and tour. My business partner toured with Heart for 2 years mm-hmm. and several other big bands. And that's how she made it. Eventually, she was charting on EFM stations herself.
Wow.
And she was from here in Billings, Montana. You can do it that way. Or there's the other side, the way you're doing it. And the way you're doing it is totally legit. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's a lot harder, I think,
yeah.
to do it totally on your own. Yeah. It is really hard to do.
Now, if someone asked me to open, I absolutely would do that. I mean, that's not off the table. Katy Perry, are you listening?
So I'm going to educate you on something. You just missed a great opportunity for shameless self-promotion. Where are you doing this show at? When? Yeah. All that kind
of
stuff.
Of
Come
course.
On, let's have it.
Let's see. The show is November 18th. Doors open at 7. It's at the Carlin.
Oh,
it's 15 okay. bucks a ticket. And it's a fundraiser for a little boy here in town who has it's leukemia. It's like a form of cancer. Oh. It's similar to leukemia. And so all the proceeds will go to his family.
Oh, that's nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't think people realize out there that even if a family has insurance and stuff like that, there's a lot of other expenses to
yep.
go along.
Oh, my goodness.
An illness like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yep. A lot.
Absolutely.
Talk about travel, hotel rooms,
nurses, special diets, all kinds of things.
Stuff that the yeah. insurance doesn't cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
It's a hard
You're not
going
to go there? You
no.
don't want to go there? It's annoying.
No, I had enough of that on Facebook today. I don't want to do anymore.
Well, that's a great lead out for the next song that
awesome.
We're going to play here. Action. So tell us about Action. Because you're taking action on that show.
I am taking action on that show. You can talk a lot. You can talk about what you think, what you believe, what your opinions are. But if you're not doing and you're not showing, then it means nothing. So actions speak louder than words.
Maybe I'm just not a child, but the things you say, I'm not
Yes.
Huh? Yes.
He's pointing at me. Are we back?
We are back.
We're not there anymore.
Are you there?
Where are we?
Where'd you go?
Roy. Is there anybody out there?
What show is this? Just kidding.
Yeah. Who are we? Who are we talking about again?
Who are we?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's some good wine, man. What? Yeah. What are you talking about?
We are FCC proof. We could say we're drinking wine on the air.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Clink,
yay.
Clink, clink, clink. So, yeah, sit back, people. Get beverage. It's an in-flight beverage. They're okay. Yeah. In-flight beverages are perfectly acceptable.
You're flying first class today.
Yeah. Relax. Put your feet up. Your chair can recline if you want it to.
And now here's a short instructional video on how to release your seatbelt in case you're a moron.
I'm stuck.
And if we crash, just stick your head between your legs. It'll be easier to kiss your ass goodbye.
Right. You know, every time they say that, I'm like, really? If we're going down, what's that going to do?
Well, I always contend that, you know, the seat cushion as a flotation device theory. You ever see anybody kicking around on the ocean after a
while? Screw it. I'm grabbing a girl with big breasts. They float better.
And that's why I never go to the bathroom on an airplane, because I'm afraid if it crashes, I'll be found on the crapper with my pants down, and that would be the final indignity.
Oh, my gosh. You might get really good publicity, though.
Yeah.
Who needs that kind of publicity?
The gal found on the crapper.
Yep. Oh, God.
Welcome to beautiful radio ADHD.
It's the shiny thing hanging around her neck over there. It's totally got me lost.
But it's so pretty. But it's so pretty, Roy.
It's
a pretty shiny thing.
It is a pretty shiny thing.
For those of you who don't have visual radio,
leaves.
She's wearing a very beautiful aspen leaf gold necklace. They're very beautiful. Both the girls here tonight have them on, and they're gorgeous.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
They're gorgeous.
I didn't realize.
I'll say thank you for the other gal here, too.
She's quietly watching from the corner with a gun.
She's on the top. She's super scared.
She's like the overseer.
Watch out. She watches Matt.
Does she actually try to keep you out of trouble?
Oh, my. Oh, she can try. She can surely try.
Well, that's
try.
Why you have best friends.
Exactly.
You know, they attempt to keep you out of trouble, but 9 times out of 10, you're just getting into more trouble with them.
That's what I was saying. She just joins in. Yeah. She's like, Rachel knows this is a bad. Oh,
it's
my God, this is fun.
Exactly.
It's partners in crime all the way.
Exactly.
Look at her eye. Look at the look.
Yep. Yeah. Getting the look. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Definitely. Oh, so wine. I love wine. I'm just looking down here at our song list.
Uh-huh.
So, love wine. We're not drunk. Believe it or not, people, we are not drunk.
Speak for yourself.
We're this way normally.
Speak for yourself, Roy. But
tell us about love drunk.
Love drunk. Ooh, that is when you are just head... That's that initial phase in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
When you just love every single thing about that person... The honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And they're amazing and perfect and they could do no wrong. And just every piece of your body and loin loves them and wants them. You're love drunk.
I'm going to make every man in America that's listening to this hate me because I'm going to let out a big male secret.
Oh, no.
Soft heart and a hard dick.
You win.
Yeah, that's what it is for guys.
Well, just your description, I was like sitting here going, okay, I haven't had a cigarette in 6 years. I need one now.
Oh, good.
Master Park would be very disappointed in me.
We won't tell him. Is he listening?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, shoot.
More than likely.
You're in trouble now. 20 yep. push-ups.
Yeah, 20 push-ups.
And then 20 more. Yeah. And
can
laps.
I take a rain check on the push-ups laps. And just do some arm bends?
You're going to have to finish that wine first.
That's right.
Yeah, 20-ounce curls. Go for it. They work.
Amen.
Amen.
No, it's being love drunk. It's definitely like we're just in the zone. Nobody else exists.
Okay, so let me ask you about the first time you ever went into a recording studio to do this professionally. What was that experience like for you?
Amazing and overwhelming and surreal. Those are the best words to describe it, because you're actually just awestruck and you really don't know what to say. And you're just looking around and going, look at this, you know, like the window that's in front of me and the microphone and everybody's watching me. And I guess in that point, you have to tell yourself to relax too, because it's the first time that there's a bunch of people standing on the other side watching you and judging everything that you're doing. But you have to realize they're not really judging you. They want a good product like you do.
Right.
So you got to let that go.
Right.
But it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling.
Right. The surreal part of it for you, what was the most surreal part of it for you?
I think that also goes into having all those people there. You know, it's surreal because it's like, wow, how did I even get here? You're walking through the studio and you're seeing, you know, the plaques of who they've worked with. And you actually get to meet this producer who works with, you know, Miley Cyrus or, you know, other people that are big names, drawing a blank, but
that's okay.
And you're like, they want to work with me. That's awesome. And they're so into everything they're doing with you and they're excited and, you know, you sing and then they're like, that's awesome. And they're complimenting you. And that's the surreal part is like, yeah. I can't believe I'm doing this and they love me. And it gives you more confidence and whatnot, but it's just unreal to be in that place and those and see everything.
And I think part of it too is they're going to support you all they can because your success reflects back on who they are as individuals.
Absolutely.
Yep. Your success is their success.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And so, yeah, where are we at here?
We're at Love Drunk.
We're at Love Drunk still.
Yeah. We're at Love Drunk. I want to talk more about Love Drunk.
There's a line in there and it says stumbling up the front yard in my red high heels, which is probably
done that.
That is why it's my favorite part of the song. I have red high heels and I have stumbled up that front yard.
And it really sucks when they sink in the grass at 3 a.m.
You know, that is a bummer. Yeah. I've learned to walk on my toes a little bit.
Uh-huh. You have to when you're wearing those big spike heels.
Heck yeah.
Oh my God. How high do you think those heels that she's wearing tonight are?
Let's see. Maybe 4?
Oh my God. Oh, honey. Oh, I remember being that young.
I'm just fantasizing. I'm not going to say a word. You guys can go for it.
I wore shoes like that every day throughout my high school career because I thought I was Madonna.
Oh, I love Madonna.
I do too. So I would wear stuff like that every day. I would not recommend it every day.
Yeah.
I'm 43 now and I'm waking up with back problems.
Oh, goodness.
Because of the high heels. So be very
I'm going to wear them until I can't.
You know, and I did that too. I did that too.
I'm going to have to learn the hard way.
I don't know how you guys can walk in those.
Very carefully.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
Exactly.
That comes back to your cleaning lady with high heels.
Uh-huh.
You just got to wear them all the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I had one of those once.
Oh, goodness. A cleaning lady or high heels?
A cleaning lady in high heels.
A cleaning lady in high heels.
I don't think we want to go there.
I don't think so either. We would derail again.
We are uncensored.
That was all she wore.
we're uncensored, but we do have
I kid you not, right here in Billings, Montana, I had a cleaning lady come over, clean the house, and she's like, I'm not getting my clothes dirty. And the first thing she'd do is strip down, clean the house, and then leave.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard of that.
I kid you not.
Well, I know what I'm getting my husband for
You know her,
birthday.
But I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Oh.
Now everybody that's listening to this is like, what's the number? Who do we call?
Paul, if you were listening and you heard that, no, honey, you may not have that for your birthday, nor may you have it for Christmas. This has been a public service announcement from your wife of 15 years who loves you dearly.
And Dude, you want to watch some football Wednesday?
Paul wouldn't know which end of the football is what. He's not a football
Neither
guy.
Neither do I.
Yeah. When you... Let's try to get back on track here, but when
That's
you
That's what
are,
I got her for.
I'm barely... Did you see the amount of wine I've been drinking tonight?
We have wine and pint glasses, just so everybody has an idea
glasses.
Of... There's no line.
And when we get done with the wine and pint glasses, we've got beer from Yellowstone Valley Brewing, one of the proud sponsors of the
Thank
airship.
Thank you, Yellowstone Valley Brewing. You are awesome.
God, I got and to work that
delicious.
In there.
Yes, we
I
do.
Did.
But, you know, we have to say thank you to them because they are awesome. They are an awesome space and they have awesome beer.
Absolutely.
Awesome beer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I went down there tonight, listened to a little bit of jazz before the show and
stuff. Are they still doing the gin and vodka thing?
I think that's just on the weekends. 100 proof gin and 100 proof vodka from
Ooh,
there.
I had back. Some of that stuff Whoa. When I woke up and I was 40.
That's that 13 going on 30,
exactly.
The movie?
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's good stuff.
Yeah, you drink that stuff down there, you'll make promises you don't remember and can't keep.
And you're writing checks you cannot cash. Let me tell you.
Which actually ties right back into Love Drunk.
Yes.
Because she's so drunk, she doesn't even know what's going on. She's so in love.
Have you ever been that in love?
Ooh, I think I have, yeah.
Isn't it a wonderful
sucks,
feeling?
Sucks, doesn't it?
I've been there.
It's a wonderful thing. It's bittersweet.
It is.
It is.
It's great, but at the same time, it sucks.
It lasts about a nanosecond of your life.
Yeah.
Is about all the longer it lasts.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And as I get older, I learned that those times happen and they're really cool. Mm-hmm. And then just walk away.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't get broken up over it, because it's going to happen again if you don't get broken up over it.
As long as you are living in the moment during that absolutely wonderful time.
Do what you're doing right now.
Right. Yeah.
And be there.
Yep. Be present.
Yep.
Exactly. Should we listen to Love Drunk?
I don't know. We got dead airspace. Oh my God. DJ's worst nightmare. 3 seconds of dead airspace.
Oh, no.
Can we have some music?
Oh, no.
Please.
Actually, that last 3 seconds you heard was the greatest hits of mime.
The greatest hits of mime?
The greatest hits of mime. Yes.
I can see what you're talking about.
Love, 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 love
I got to say, there's one time when this girl is definitely in love and love drunk because I just seen it.
Ah!
I just seen it in all its glory because she started singing along with some of the music and she was totally in love with what she was doing and looked very beautiful and just kind of glowed when she did it.
Thank you.
It was awesome. It was totally awesome. We're going to roll out of that and real quick, give us about 10 seconds. Dancing Master.
That's actually Damn Dance.
Damn Dance?
And it's Do That Damn Dance. And maybe there'll be a damn dance to do.
How did we come up with that on there?
Oh, that's okay. Who knows? Well. Maybe I wrote it to you. I don't know. No, Damn Dance. You know what? That's just one that you want to play in the club. You want to get up and dance. You're at home getting ready to go out and you want to dance. Where you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're dancing and you have your outfit on. You're like, do these heels look good with that? And you're, you know, doing your thing, looking how you're going to look in front of everybody else.
That first shot of whiskey.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're driving your car down the road and you're like.
If you could only see her doing
it. It's
so beautiful. Cute.
It's beautiful.
It is so cute.
Let's have it, Sean. Moving.
Oh my God.
Let me see you do that damn dance.
Yeah.
I saw you doing it.
Yeah.
Damn, you better be dancing out there. Everybody better be dancing after that
one. Hell yeah. Get off your butts, people. Come on.
How can you not?
I mean, this gal is, she's got it.
Even me, I'm like, I'm in the white boys can dance mode, and I'm sitting up here bouncing and cherry.
Wait, you're doing the white guy. You're doing the white guy.
I saw you doing the chicken dance over there.
Oh, God. Come on, give me a break.
It wasn't the chicken dance.
No mercy. No mercy here. So what's your plans for the future? Where are you going from here?
Yeah. Going up.
Going up?
Up, up, and away.
Up, 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 up.
You know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and more. Every opportunity that's presented to you, you say yes to. And you just continue to work with different people, meet them, and grow. And everything will go somewhere if you just continue on that path, be positive, and work hard. Yeah. Hard work.
That is hard work.
I'm going to leave it with a little bit of wisdom here tonight before we wrap this whole thing up. The definition of luck. Luck is when opportunity opens the door on preparation. So if you stay prepared for all the opportunities, you can create your own luck every day. And that's what got us all here tonight, and that's what's going to keep getting us going. I'd like to thank a few people out there that helped make this show possible. Atlantic Technologies, Mr. Sean Wilson here, putting this together. MT Radio for hosting the show and putting it out there on the air for everybody. I'd like to thank Yellowstone Valley Brewing for providing us with beer and keeping us a drink. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery. You know, we have a good time down there all the time. There's some great music on Wednesday nights and on Friday and Saturday nights, as well as Legendary Tattoo. If you want some good award-winning ink, go down there, see the guys all the way from the House of Ink, Venice Beach, California, back to here, Detroit, and every place in between. They settled down in this area to give you some ink. So we're about to wrap it up with the last song here. Thank you, ladies, for showing up here.
I love tattoos.
Oh, he's the best, without a doubt. They're won't let anybody else touch me. Maybe I get lucky and I'll show you mine. You show me yours, I'll show you mine. With that, let's roll it on out for the end of the night. And if you guys are out there listening, check the show out. It'll be up for download or to listen to again. And make sure, if you're on Instagram, hashtag that thing.
Hashtag.
Everywhere I go, people always stop and stare, trying to take my picture, flashing lights everywhere. No matter where I go, I'm always putting on a show, paparazzi everywhere. It's a game and I'm a player. So, click, 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 take a peek like a Barbie doll. Hashtag I'm the baddest of them all.
Take a pic.